Hi, my name is Rosette, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I was at PT yesterday. I have old creaky knees. And I was watching this woman who I hadn't seen there before. She was about the size I was when at my biggest, which was 340, and she was on a treadmill, and it was set at the slowest section speed, and I could see she was just struggling, that every step was an absolute way of exerting herself that was just so all she could give. And I looked at her and I remembered what it was like to be that way, that when weight made daily life a struggle. When if I wanted to go somewhere, I had to have two plane seats. When I sat in the bus, nobody sat in the seat next to me because I was taking up my seat and half of the seat next to me. When just walking around was like carrying this 200-pound weight of lead, and I would take the bus to go three blocks because I just didn't have the energy to do that walking. And I looked at her and said, "Look at me now and how much better my life is. How did I ever let that happen?" And then I remembered what it was like to crave, to not be able to help it, to make excuses, to rationalize, to plan to do better, to swear to stick to my diet, to try crazy things to try and lose weight. And none of those things helped. I was never, ever able to beat the craving. It dominated my life. I came to a place where I lived to eat because I had nothing else, because craving had taken everything from me. Craving was like a thief. It stole my dignity, my self-esteem, my physical health. I had diabetes that was out of control, ruining my kidneys and my vision. It stole my friends because after a while, people get tired of you staying home eating after you promised to go somewhere with them or do something. Sometimes the craving snuck up on me. It's like the guy who bumps you on the street, and you realize only when you go to open your wallet to pay for something that they took your wallet. My craving was like that. For example, I was on this medicine for my diabetes that did well. The only problem was if I didn't eat properly, if I ate too much sugar or too much food in general or too much fat, I got this horrible foul-smelling diarrhea. I would take the pill in the morning with full intentions of eating properly all day. And then all of a sudden I would discover that I was in the middle of a binge. And if you're home, that's unpleasant. If you're out in public, in somebody's house, coming out of the bathroom, the shame of, oh my God, can they smell it? Once I remember being in McDonald's and getting sick and having somebody come down the hall and go, my God, it stinks in here. So sometimes the craving was a sneak thief, and sometimes it was right out in the open and straightforward, like a home invader who comes in your house and holds you at gunpoint and tortures you. When I would decide that I wanted something, and it started out as want, very quickly became a need, and I felt like if I couldn't have that thing, I was going to die. It was like my insides were tied in a knot, and the knot kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter until I finally got it. And I always believed that that thing was going to make me feel better, whatever it was. In the program, I learned different. In that searching and fearless moral inventory that I did for step four, I learned to stop running away from this thief, to turn and to face it. And that meant examine the roots of the craving, work out where it started and how it worked. And for me, it brought back a memory of a little girl. I was less than 5 years old, and I was at my grandparents' house. My grandparents lived in a log cabin that my grandfather built. It was way, way far from the street. And so there was this long rutted driveway. And I'm sitting on the grass that grows between the two ruts, looking down the road, wondering, when are my parents coming back? And are they ever really going to come back? I couldn't know as I was sitting there that this was the beginning of a difficult time in my life. I couldn't know that it was going to be 8 years before my parents came back. I couldn't know that my grandfather had been raised in a dysfunctional home and that he treated me the way he had been treated. And he told me how stupid and worthless and lazy I was. I couldn't know that my grandmother, who was collecting Social Security already, was utterly overwhelmed by my younger sister, who was only 9 months and didn't have time for me. You know, she just couldn't manage all of that. And her response when I needed something was, please go outside and play. Go outside and play. I couldn't know that as I got older, I would be molested. At that point, I was devastated by the loss of my family. I miss my parents. I had grown up. That home also was dysfunctional. My father had what today they would call severe PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And so he was frequently agitated and paranoid. But it was my family. I loved them and I was comfortable with them. So I miss my parents, and I miss my elder brother and sister who went to live with another relative. I was sad. I was lonely. My feelings got hurt a lot. I was angry at some of the things that happened to me. I felt like I was all alone in the world, that there was nobody to help me, nobody to make things better, that nobody loved me, that I didn't belong anywhere, that I was different in a bad way. And after I was molested, I felt like I had been soiled, that I had been ruined by this molester. All that added up to something must be wrong with me. My grandfather told me, "Guy, you ain't got sense enough to pull piss out of a boot, and you're not worth the powder and shot it would take to blow out your brains." He told me, I believed. Otherwise, why would my parents leave me all by myself? And why did my grandmother have time, not have time for me? And why did the kids pick on me and beat me up at school? So here I was a child in pain, and I didn't know what to do with that. I had no resources to take care of that. And I believe truly that I would not have survived as a rational, sane person if I had not found some kind of relief. And what I found was food. What I didn't realize is that food is like all the other addictions. And one of the best descriptions I've had is what they used to say about people who smoked hash. They used to call it chasing the dragon. And you can see why that would be. The smoke looks like a dragon as it comes out of the pipe. But, you know, the part of the reason for saying that was for people to understand that you're going to chase the dragon. You're never, ever going to catch it, but you're always in danger that the dragon is going to turn around and flame you and kill you. And that's what happened to me. The food took over. It controlled me. I just ate all the time, and I was so busy eating that I never noticed that it didn't help. I never noticed that I had lost control. But OA taught me, first, I understood intellectually, and eventually I understood in my gut that food was not what I originally wanted or needed. What I was hungry for was unconditional love and acceptance, for nurturing, for safety. I wanted my mom and daddy back. I wanted not to be vigilant every minute for the next bad thing to happen. I wanted to be treated like a good little girl and told that I was okay. I wanted not be lonely and not be afraid. And But still, I spent decades feeding my hungry spirit and my painful emotions with food. And of course, it never worked because food couldn't give me any of those things I've been talking about. But once I started eating, I never knew. And when I started eating, I didn't know there were other options. I didn't know there were other things I could do for myself. In a way, I learned to work at identifying the origins of my craving, because if I could see the specifics, if I knew what was wrong, then I could let the program be my security system. I could let the program warn me what was wrong, and I could use the tools of the program to fight back. One of the ways I've done that is I've learned to think of compulsive of craving as being like the disease, as having physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects. For me, the physical is very, very straightforward. I am addicted to sugar and flour. I can't eat those things. I never will be able to eat those things. I also have to remember some basic stuff like well, not so much anymore, but in the past, I used to confuse thirst for hunger. So I need to make sure that I'm hydrating myself. I have to pay attention to what I ate yesterday. Did I eat something yesterday that triggered me? And that's why I'm craving today. Am I off schedule? Have I let too long go between meals? And if those things are so, I just have to hang on through those feelings of withdrawal. I have tools in the program. I have a sponsor who will help me, fellows to talk to about it, and prayer and meditation. And the knowledge that sometimes I just need to get up and do something and distract myself. For the physical piece of the disease of craving, it's really very simple for me. I can learn that I'm not alone, from a higher power who loves me, from a sponsor who loves me, shows me where I belong in the world, what my part is. But I have to do the work. I have to do the step work to prepare myself for this higher power to provide me with this grace to love myself so that I don't need food to fill that void. And the emotional piece is probably the most complicated for me. It's often that piece that has me feeling like I'm at gunpoint. And I'm learning that I just have to dig and identify where the pain is, what it is, and then plant my feet and endure it, knowing that it's going to pass. It's not going to kill me. I'm not that little girl who hungered. I can meet my needs, some myself, some my higher power, many the program. And I'm not alone. And so I have to not make myself alone. I have to not isolate. I have to reach out. I have to get a life. Find out what gives me joy. I discovered that writing gives me joy, so I've been doing that a lot. I need to do service. Keep me occupied. I need to not get empty. I need to not just be sitting doing nothing, because when there's a void, a craving is going to rush in and fill that space. And so I have to remember that even though that price, the crisis passes, and I've gotten through that emotion, what they say about the program being an onion and there's always another level to unpeel, that's absolutely true for me. And so, even though it's gone, even though I've defeated that problem for this moment, it'll be back. Perhaps in a deeper way, another level that I haven't understood so far. But that's okay. I know what to do. I have the tools of the program for work for me. I will never sit here and say that any of this is easy. I found working the steps painful at times. The memories that it brought up were very difficult to live with. And sometimes my 10th step are the same. But I can't live in fear of that pain. It says in the AA 12 and 12 that pain is the touchstone of all spiritual progress. And that's the price I have to pay for being more at ease, for being in recovery. And it's worth it to me. It's worth it to know in my heart and in my gut that I don't deserve a substitute. And that's all food is. I deserve the real thing. I deserve people who love me. I deserve to love myself. I deserve a relationship with a higher power that gives me bliss in prayer and meditation. So, how did all this work for me? I've been in the program for 14 years. I have 12 years of abstinence. I'll just quickly mention that relapse that came to the woman who thought she could work the program without working the steps. I have lost more than 150 pounds. My weight has been stable long enough that I have clothes that are wearing out. I think that's the coolest thing. And I'm not chasing a dragon. I don't have that futile, aching need to rush after something. I'm chasing a higher power. And when that higher power turns around, it's not going to flame me. That higher power is going to open their arms and nurture me, and give me a good life. It's going to give me all the things I thought I could get from the dragon, but in reality and lasting long term. So, thank you for letting me share.